let me in. Shiba shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba shiba. Let me find that part of you. The part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. Now, I've been out of town, out of the country for all of this month, and so I'm just coming back. And I've got the librarians later on, but I've got a few interviews that are just interviews that I think you would be interested in. They weren't done by me, but they're super interesting. I've got one from James Brown. I've got one with Jack Kerouac. So let's start with the James Brown one. This is from 1971, and it's from the BBC archives. I hope you enjoy it.
James Brown, do you remember?
You know you didn't tell me your name.
My name's Michael Dean.
Hi, Mike.
Do you remember the first music you ever heard?
I better say yeah, because I don't. I sound like I'm 50 years old. Yeah, I remember.
What was the first music, kind of music, you were attracted to? Was it gospel music or?
No, the first music I was attracted to was guitar, rhythm and blues. Hmm. The old blues, you know. A fella playing guitar with a bottleneck around his finger, you know.
And when did you start playing or and singing yourself?
Well, you said playing. I'd feel kind of bad to say that I'm really a musician, because I'm kind of a jack of all trades, about five or six instruments, and I write and arrange all my stuff, and I've never gone to school for music, formally. But I guess I play about six instruments, and I started playing the harmonica,
which I've never
played on a record yet, and I still yet want to play one on a record.
Why not?
Well, I don't know. I just hadn't. Actually, it was a little too primitive, and I thought we had a lot of people that weren't ready for it, and you kind of ease into it, you know. But I think harmonica is going to be very big, very shortly, because it's the next primitive thing, you know. It's even before the guitar.
I'm staying back at your past just to start with, I assure you, but. When you were a shoeshine boy, did you dream then of being a musician?
No, I dreamed then of eating regularly.
You didn't eat much?
Well, I didn't have. Well, my people were very poor, you know. And there just was no way, you know, for me to dream of becoming anything but trying to be just a laborer trying to work, you know. Because that's all I saw, that's all I could see around me. My father was a laborer, you know. He stopped in the second grade, and this wasn't a chance for me to imagine nothing that's too fantastic. And that's one reason, I guess, at most of my concerts, I've had a language hang up for the last 8 or 10, but last night I wanted to, I just didn't have time. But I usually thank the people, you know, for coming out to see the show and for making me what I am today, and let them know that I do appreciate it, because they delivered me from so many things, you know. I don't think I could ever be able to repay people for what they've done for me, but I can keep on being a man and trying to fight for the right for all people.
Did those early years of poverty and reform school leave scars? Do you sometimes dream now of poverty and...
No, let's face it, it's kind of hard. You get used to being in a position where you can do a lot of things that you never dreamed of being able to do. But I think your spirit kind of changes along with what environment you're in. Because when I was a juvenile delinquent, and I used to dream there in the institution, I would never dream of being on the outside. And we've talked of this before. I think your spirit just kind of, and you know, get be part of the environment. And I think even though you're asleep, it just don't give you nothing that's not reality. I think it stays with the reality, you know. And I just never dreamed of nothing outside. So the same way now that I'm able to do a lot of things that I never thought I'd be able to do, or I never dreamed of being in poverty. It just don't happen. I don't know, maybe some other people have it much different, and it happens different with them, but not with me, I don't know. But I always remind myself, because I go back, I go out in the countries and I see homes where 15, 18, 20 people in two rooms, you know, and maybe it's one lady, or maybe an elderly man taking care of family. And I'll go around and find a sign, I find anybody within a land for sale, and I bring back deeds to them, you know. I think of the old Robin Hood days and the Jesse James stories. Not the Robin, another thing, not taken, but given. I thought it was a fantastic idea, and makes one feel very good inside when you're able to do things like that. Kind of a lecture.
When you came out of reform school, you took up fighting. Why? Was this an accident?
No, I was trying to fight before I went in, you know. But I was kind of young, but we started young because our trainer was a lightweight champion of the world at that time, Bojack. And he was from Augusta and also a shoeshine boy. we started training with him, and then I did some fighting while I was in the institution. And I got out and had about 4 professional fights. And I don't know how I got into the singing bit. I think that was the only thing left because boxing just didn't seem to have it or something. It's a little too slow. And
it hurts.
Well, it hurts, but it's like football or rugby, anything you play, you get used to it, you know. And you don't worry about the knocks if you can make some progress.
Were you any good?
I don't know. If you'd ask me, am I good at singing and dancing? I couldn't answer that either. I got a pretty good reputation from boxing, but I'm a peaceful man.
From the beginning, was it soul, musically, that interested you most, or was it all?
Well, it's always been soul with me ever since I've been singing, you know.
Guys, if you suffer from neuropathy, stop drinking cold water now. I know it sounds like an exaggeration.
Soul has become, as at that time, soul was more or less a church slang, you know. This was used in church a lot. Singing soul, I'm using my soul. And eventually it come out of the church because they found that most of the rhythm and blues singers had come out of the church, so they named them soul singers. You know? I guess as far as I can remember back, I was a soul singer.
At the beginning, did you model yourself on any other soul singer?
No. A lot of people I liked in the past. Louis Jordan, years back. Old singers like Wynonna Harris, Roy Brown. And maybe a lot of the music people don't know who I'm talking about. It's, and I'm not pushing King Records now. But you do find these singers in the King catalog, and they got a lot of originality, a lot of things that you hear people try to do today. It's their life they sing about. And then later on I like B.B. King a lot, you know. But my thing, I had to get the way I felt. And I thought that I would be able to deliver better doing it the way I feel, you know. It's one thing I've always tried to do is be unlike anybody else.
A lot of people have tried to define exactly what soul music is, but no one seems to have caught exactly what it is. How would you define it?
I don't know. I think I think it's almost like popularity because I've expressed this, my feeling, my opinion about soul music for a million times. Soul music is just, it's the deprivation of a man. And this is the thing he sang about. It's the word can't that make you a soul singer. Can't. I think one thing that made a black man is more heavier for soul coming from states is because of the fact that he had extra hard knocks. And he lived with the word camp for so long. So every time he can sing about it, it kind of comes out a little bit stronger.
I got to catch it where I can swing it. I can't swing it yet. It's a lot of wood here, man.
That was good, though.
Yeah, it's a thing.
That was very good.
Preaching, man. This is a hit! Papa's in the same. He ain't too hip, but that new breed thing. He ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a jack. He's doing the fly. Don't play him cheap, cause you know he ain't shy. He's doing the monkey, the mashed potatoes. Jump back, Jack. See you later, alligator. Come here, sister. Papa's in the swing. Here to hip now. Alligator. Come here, sister. Hey.
Was Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, James Brown. That was the way to cap off that 1971 interview on the BBC. Coming up next, I got for you an interview with Jack Kerouac. He did this with Ben Hecht, so let's listen.
Hello, Jack.
Hello, Ben.
You're the fellow who invented the word or the phrase Beat Generation, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to ask you some questions. Don't mind not answering them if you don't want them. First, I read in one of your books a very interesting statement. You said that, quotes, everyone feels like a zombie, and somewhere at the end of the night, the great Dracula figure of modern disintegration and madness, the devil, if you will, is running the whole thing. Now, I like that because that's the way I've felt about the world often, but I'd like to know if our devils are the same. Who's this devil?
Well, that's a quote. From, a character says that.
You don't believe there's a devil running the world? Well, I'm bitterly disappointed.
The devil is defeated.
He's been licked by the beats?
No, by God.
God licked him.
Sure.
Well, about God, you made a statement that also fascinated me. You said that, let me get this, put my glasses on and get it accurate. You said that your philosophy you described as being, quotes, Catholicism mixed with gin. In what
gin?
Proportions?
G-I-N?
G-I-N. That's what it said on a tape recording interview I heard of yours. Mm. In what proportions, Jack, is the gin improved by this mixture? What did you mean by liquor and religion? Reality and spirituality or what?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't understand your question, though.
Well, let's jump to another question.
How did the mixture improve? You mean did the gin get better?
Did the gin get helped by being religious, or did the religion get helped by being full of gin? which is improved?
I don't know. That's a
phony question. Non sequitur, right. Now, let's go back. You boys, I gather from having read your very fine book, which I bought because I thought it was about drama critics. It's not drama bums, it's dharma bums.
Oh, dharma, right? Yeah.
In this book, you seem to have a wonderfully good time, and you seem to have it by turning your back on all the things that the bourgeoisie have to contend with. What are the things you most like to turn your back on? Though you say the devil has been defeated, who are the devils that make you turn your back? Do you like politics?
No.
You like the Republican Party?
I like Eisenhower. As a man. As a man.
Great
man.
He's a great man?
Nice man.
Why do you think he's a nice man?
He's the kind of man that, you know, you'd like to shake hands with. He's a nice man. You know he's a nice man. I don't know anything about politics.
I adore Mr. Eisenhower, but I don't think he's a great man or even an intelligent man.
He is. You know, the American people probably don't realize what he's doing.
What's he doing?
I don't know. We'll figure it out in 50 years. 50 years you can look back.
I think he's one of the leaders of the Beat Generation. I think he's turned his back on us, just as you boys have.
No.
Probably the same reason. Are you going to vote the next election?
I've never voted.
Well, how can you think of any one politician is better than another? Wouldn't that lure you into casting a ballot?
I shouldn't be proud of never having voted, but I never have. I don't know what's the matter.
I can understand. I only voted once and under protest.
You too?
Yeah, once. For the wrong guy.
Where?
Roosevelt. You like Ike, you think he's adorable. What do you think of his pals? There's a fellow called Dulles who creates...
Well, he spent a whole lifetime learning all the techniques of...
He's great, too?
Oh, he's a great technician.
Yeah. At what? Battenberg?
At running the Secretary of State office, you know, running the...
You boys have had your backs turned
I don't agree with my confrères, you know, about politics.
Oh, they're against, and you're...
They have the same ideas you have.
They have, huh?
All of them all.
Bad ones, huh?
No. There's no reason to criticize anybody, actually.
You're,
We're all going to go to heaven.
We are?
All of
Me
us.
Me too?
Everything, even the microphone.
I like that.
You too.
Okay.
And your cigar.
I couldn't do without it. Jack, have you ever been in trouble with the government forces that you liked so well? I gather not, because you seem too full of human kindness. Has a government ever got sore or interested in the Beat Generation? You think there'll ever be a time when you boys will be hailed up and you'll have to swear that you never belonged to the Beat Generation or belong to it now? You think they'll ever get after Buddha?
Gee, they can't get to him.
They can't? Well, they keep trying to get to a lot of things that they can't get to.
Buddha, you know, his lifetime, nobody ever laid a hand on him.
You think he's safe? You think it's safe worshiping Buddha? You think you boys are out of the reach of our law enforcers by worshiping Buddha?
I don't only worship Buddha.
Whom else?
I worship Christ, and I worship Allah, and I worship Yahweh, who is the Father.
Uh-huh.
I worship them all.
Where did you get this worship instinct? Because I read your book.
Well, I was born...
I think it's real. I think you really worship.
In a religious home.
I see. You know. Well...
My father was very sensitive.
I was pleased to read in your book that sects didn't exist outside of the realm of worshippers, too.
What?
I said worshippers do not necessarily not go in for sex, which is usually the rule.
Well, yeah, they should.
They should. You think sex helps worship along?
No, I mean, both are necessary.
They're not
including
separate.
Including the
gin. The gin, huh? You boys love life, providing you don't have to... be hurt by it. Is that one of your ideas?
No, we've been hurt.
Who hurts you?
Hunger. I've been starving many times on the road and everything.
Yeah. You've written a lot of books, haven't you? I hear you got about 4 or 5 books that haven't been published yet.
That's right.
And you write 10 hours a day?
No, I've been writing since I'm 11.
11.
But, I mean, I just went through a furious 3 years when I thought I'd be like Shakespeare and write 3 masterpieces a year.
Well, that's not being very back-turning when you write 10 hours a day and 3 masterpieces a year. What makes the Beat people, if they are the people in your last book, the drama bums, what makes them
Dharma
bums, okay. What makes them climb mountains, look at their navel, and yell, why do they go in for mysticism?
They don't look at their navels.
They don't? Whose navel do they look at? Yeah. I read in your book there's a new cult called, a word called yam.
What's that? Yab-yum.
Yab-yum.
That comes from Tibet. It's an ancient ceremony.
It pleased me, this new thing, because I remember it in my youth.
It's old.
A lot of boys and one girl. Is there any...
No, one man and one girl and priests chanting around, beating on drums.
One man and one girl?
Yeah, that's all in the middle.
I read a party that you described with, I think it was 5 men and 1 girl.
Well, that was a sloppy yab-yum.
A sloppy. It should be just 1 and 1?
Yeah.
That's depressing.
It is.
Because I figured out, being an amateur psychiatrist, that had something to do with homosexuality.
Oh, no.
It hasn't.
No.
This is not a personal attack. Having a good look at your puss, I wouldn't even think of making such a suggestion.
That's one thing I'm not, is homosexual. Yeah.
Have you an opinion or an attitude about homosexuals?
They can do what they want. They
are
should.
Are they productive and constructive people like the rest of the world?
I could name you names.
Yeah, we will not go into
great,
that.
Great, creative, yeah. Including Socrates.
Yeah, Socrates. Who else? My God. Julius Caesar. Lycurgus, the head of Sparta. I knew them all. What do you think about people who don't climb the mountain, don't have mysticism? What do you think about a fellow like me who, on a treadmill, always try to make a little money?
Nah, you lived a wonderful life.
I have.
Yeah, I could write a book about the way you've lived. A newspaper man, traveling around, writing scripts, plays, people throwing roses at you.
Looks like I was fishing for something, but I wasn't.
No.
What turned you boys to the Buddha? Was it that you thought that the Christian civilization was a pretty silly thing? And that a religion, the Christian religion, which has possibly produced maybe 800 million murders, crucifixions, auto-de-fés, wasn't quite as spiritual?
That's one thing I thought of, because in Buddhism there had not been one crusader.
Not one
crusading war.
Buddhism never hurt anyone.
Never.
Christianity has torn the world apart. There have been almost...
Yeah, but that was because of charlatans who came in and took it over from Peter.
Who's to judge? They don't seem like charlatans when they're in the box. They just seem like people in charge. Later they turn out charlatans.
An awful lot of people.
The fellows that burned Joan didn't seem like charlatans to Joan, I bet you.
Peter was a fisherman.
Yeah. One thing I noticed in the writings of you and your pals, Mr. Ginsberg particularly, is that you have an affinity for Negroes. Is it that the Negro is an authentic, automatic beat without having to put on a title?
Yeah, he is the original beat.
He's the one that starts. He's outside. Yeah. He's born with
He's full of glee, if you noticed, you know.
Glee over what?
Well, he has a lot of fun. You've noticed the way the Negroes have a lot of fun. They also
suffer. I'm afraid I've gotten
away.
I've only heard professional Negroes talk lately. I didn't hear the boys we used to hear in Chicago.
That's right.
They were very happy.
Very happy. They still are.
They still are. I remember you. Did you ever hear of a place called Sunset Number 1 in Chicago?
No.
Black and tan joints? Oh, they were very happy there. There was no Negro problem.
Yab yum?
Yes. Not the yab yum you wrote in your book.
Yeah.
Now, another thing in your book fascinated me. You wrote about drugs very charmingly and honestly as a sort of holy water for the beat generation. What drugs did you use? And where'd you get them? How much did they cost?
Well,
are they expensive?
I know a lot of people who take them, and I know all the facts about it. Yeah, now they're expensive. Yeah.
Are drugs as vicious and horrifying as the propagandists make out?
Yeah, the drugs that you take through the needle are vicious and horrifying.
You got to smoke them, sniff them, or what?
Well, also sleeping pills are vicious and horrifying.
Yeah, I take
worst
those.
Of all,
yeah,
sleeping
I take
pills.
Those. I'm the worst offender. I can't stand them, but I take them.
Never take 3.
No, not unless I want to say goodbye.
No, in a way. Yeah.
6 are goodbye. Jack.
Well, actually, 50.
50 are goodbye? No.
50.
We had a lot of beats in our time. Didn't wear that title. Did you ever hear of the Dill Pickle Club in Chicago?
No, I've never been to Chicago.
Ever, well, fame gets around usually. Jack Jones, you never heard of?
Jack Jones?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Jack Reed.
I knew Jack Reed, yes. Mm-hmm. He was a great reporter who preferred Russia to the United States. God knows why.
And who was Jack Jones?
Jack Jones ran the Dill Pickle Club. He was an ex-sailor. He assembled maybe 300 people in a little barn. Gave him a place to sleep and a podium from which to recite their poems.
That's nice. Yeah, they're doing that now.
They're doing that now. Well, we did that in Chicago in 1920. Tell me, is this mysticism really a religious training?
Or is it a ruse to avoid the flings and arrows of our time? Most mystics have put a hat on right over their ears so they wouldn't see what's going on.
It's hard to say.
Do you like the world?
Not
the people.
I like the essence of the world, but not the world itself.
Do you like its organizations, its advertising factotums, its automobiles, its assembly line souls?
Like an egg heap.
It's bad.
Well, it's silly.
Let's remove it, huh?
But it feeds me. It brings me cans of pork and beans and stuff.
Briefly, you'll find out you're going to starve again after this new book, The Drama Bums, runs its course. You're going to be from hunger. Authors never get fed. They always have to beg and plead. I asked you this before. How do people get involved in your group? And is it growing? How does one...
I was going to say,
how do you qualify as a beat fellow?
It's not a bohemian generation. It's like the Lost Generation. It contains millions of people. There were millions of bathtub gins and flappers and raccoon coats.
Yeah.
Now there are millions of black slacks and ponytails. And
you're ahead of those.
No, I'm saying the beat generation, the bohemian has always been with us, even in the days of Walt Whitman.
That's right.
And there's only a few thousand bohemians ever.
But usually the bohemian or the beat or the lost generation came after a war, and you boys seem to have beat the gun. You've
was
come
Rembrandt
before the next
a bohemian
war.
Rembrandt?
Mm. No, he was an artist, a painter.
And the people who hung around him were bohemians?
Kibitzers.
Were they bohemians?
They were maybe soft touches for a good painter. The painter lives on that. But are you boys afraid of the next war, worried about it? Do you look forward?
I don't think there'll be one.
Why not?
Because things are in good hands.
You think if there were enough beats who do a spiritual sit-down strike, civilization could be spared another war because nobody would attend?
No, that's too hysterical.
You don't believe in asserting yourself?
History will work its way out. Everybody will come together. The whole world will come together, east and west.
You think so, huh?
Mm. If it doesn't come out, you can crawl up to me in a...
Who shall be the little child that leads them, Mr. Dulles?
The little child will lead them in the cart drawn by two white lambs.
You think God's working in us, Jack?
Sure.
Do you think he's working in our politicians?
Oh, sure.
Or does he concentrate on beats?
Maybe he'll work on Mao.
Mao? What's he got to do with him? He's already a Buddhist. He hasn't got far to go with
Mao. Mao's no Buddhist.
What is he, a Shintoist?
He used to be a Taoist poet.
Yeah. Who do you love, Jack? Mother, father, child, wife. Who is it you love in the world?
My mother.
You love your mother. Thank you, Jack, for talking about the beats. I'm going to send in my dues as soon as I can get enough money.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO, San Francisco. You got to hear Ben Hecht interview Jack Kerouac, and you can find that on the Beat Generation box set. Currently, we're listening to Elmer Bernstein, Like Having Fun. But you know who you really want to listen to? My librarianista du jour. It's the last Monday of the month. And you know I love me some librarians, and we are always so lucky to have them here. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome librarianista Emma Moore. Hello.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. I'm speaking with you from your closest library, Western Edition branch.
Oh, sweet.
Geary and Scott.
Nice. How long have you been at that branch?
I've only worked in the whole system for 2 years. Prior to that, I was a school librarian for 15 years.
But oh, wow.
I love it here. It's a great branch.
Before we talk about that, let's talk about being a school librarian, because my introduction to the library was, you know, as a second grader in school, like going to the school library and the librarian introducing me to all these books. And I left with a stack of books so big that I had to leave half of them on the sidewalk to get them home, you know, which I got in trouble for. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But what was it like for you? Like, how did you get to be a school librarian? And what's it like to be on the librarian side of kids coming to you for books?
I got to be a school librarian because I happened to, let's just be honest, I grew up a bookworm.
Oh, nice.
I will say I was actually grounded from reading when I was a kid because my parents were worried that I wasn't well-rounded.
Uh-huh.
So I always loved kids and I always loved books, and I was lucky enough to get a school librarian job on the peninsula. And I hosted story times every week, of course, and it was a kindergarten through eighth grade school, so mm-hmm. I got to see the kids grow up.
Mm-hmm.
It was lovely. And I did seminars and after-school programs, and it was just great.
Now, seeing that you had them kindergarten through eighth, mm-hmm. do they kind of start out as bookworms, or did some sort of come midway through?
It's both. I've heard this wonderful saying, you haven't found your favorite book yet, to the kids who didn't self-identify as bookworms or avid readers. Mm-hmm. I would sometimes say it's just because you haven't found your favorite book.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, there were those readers from the get-go that were in my library at lunch every day, sitting in the stacks reading their books. So it can go both ways.
So with the kids that hadn't found their book yet, how did you get them to find their book? Because some kids are resisting.
So I would basically interview them, as mm-hmm. we're doing now. I would ask them what kinds of things they like to do in their life. You know, I'd get the common answers, video games, but it might be baking, or I'd ask them if they had a pet.
Mm-hmm.
And I would find that kind of window into what they're passionate about, you know, what they care about in their lives,
mm-hmm.
and then lead them to a book about that thing. There's a book for everything under the sun, as we know.
Now, was there ever a kid that was kind of like a tough nut to crack, but you finally did it?
Oh, good question. I think generally, because I'm not thinking of that one kid, but I think generally speaking, the kids that are really into video games can be hard nuts to crack, or the kids that are obsessed with one particular series, like Diary of a Wimpy Kid or Harry
mm-hmm.
Potter,
mm-hmm.
and they get so fixated on that series, that's all they want to read again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to find them what I call a read-alike is mm-hmm. thrilling, and branching them out from that one book or that one series.
Okay.
Not that there's anything wrong with reading the same book that you love again and again.
Right. But like you're lucky if you have a series, because then it'll just be a whole, you know, but then when you run out of that series, you know, they don't fall away. You're able to find something, like you said, read alike or read adjacent.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So then what made you want to transition from the school, being a school librarian, to being in the public library?
Well, it's a kind of personal thing because I have two kids. Mm-hmm. I live in San Francisco in the Outer Sunset,
mm-hmm.
and commuting down the peninsula was fine when I started there years ago, but then the tech boom hit and I wanted a better work-life balance.
Okay.
So I found, maybe this is TMI, but then I found, I got lucky enough to get a job at a branch in San Francisco. We have 27 branches
uh-huh.
across the city,
okay.
open 7 days a week.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a blast. My library is basically on Western Addition branch. It's basically on Geary. I'm across from two schools with three more schools close by. So mm-hmm. I am a youth services librarian, and I get to serve the same age range that I served pretty much in my school. So there's a lot of crossover between a school and public librarian.
Very good.
Youth services.
I got to say, I spent You know, the librarian was my after-school babysitter. I just loved going there, and, you know, I loved books, loved them. So that's why I love having my librarianistas. Now, speaking of, you know, the Western Edition branch, let's talk about what's going on this coming month.
Yes. So we have some fun programs coming up next month. We have a monthly craft circle that we started back in February and have a good turnout for. That is the first Sunday of every month here at the Western Edition branch at 3 o'clock.
A crafts, what is it?
It's a craft. I think I'm sorry, there was another call in. A craft circle.
A craft circle. Now, what's a craft circle?
Yeah, so there are libraries around the system that have recurring yarn, knitting, crocheting circles.
Oh, okay.
We decided to call ours a craft circle because we want to welcome everyone who's doing any kind of craft, and that's true for any library, no matter what they call it. Mm-hmm. But ours here at Western Edition is once a month, the first Sunday from 3 to 4:30.
Okay.
We also have a couple really great kid programs in August. Our giant bubble play program is happening August 9th. Which is a Saturday, and we have a really fun ocean slime program.
Ocean slime? August.
Yeah, ocean slime.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that like a jellyfish thing, or what is that?
So it's kids being shown how to make their own slime, and my wonderful coworker Janine has themed it ocean so that the kids can add little sea creatures to the slime in their jar and some blue-green glitter.
Now, how do you make slime? And more importantly, how do you make slime that doesn't destroy the furniture?
Okay, so my guess is either you're a parent yourself, or you just have an aversion to slime in the way that I do. I do not like slime in my household. I don't, and thereby I don't know how to make slime.
Okay. I know from friends, you know, from having godchildren and hearing from the parents, like, they get so annoyed when slime shows up.
My son literally got slime on a knitted blanket that my mother made, and that stuff does not come out. But it was okay.
Okay.
So that's for the kid area. Programming.
I want to ask you, like, going back to the crafts thing. You mentioned the knitting and the crocheting. What other kinds of crafts would we be able to see if we go to this craft circle?
So there's one regular that comes in and colors. She brings her own coloring.
Okay.
We have someone came in. It's also, I want to point out, it's multi-age. It's all ages. The current audience is primarily adult, a lot of knitters and crocheters, but we have hot glue guns available that we put out, and all of your basic craft supplies, scissors and things like that. But it is bring your own project.
Oh, okay. So it's just people doing their own thing together.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's basically just a neighborhood circle of people that have gotten connected by showing up to do their own craft.
Okay.
And I've actually heard patrons in the craft circle talking about how much they appreciate doing something that they would be at home doing alone and having a place to come to do it alongside someone else. We put out hot tea.
Oh.
And it's lovely.
And what time is that?
That's the first Sunday from 3 o'clock to 4:30.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And that's
so it's August 3rd.
And that's at the Western Edition branch.
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So we've got the craft circle. We've got the slime. What else you got?
We have a fix-it clinic and bike repair clinic happening at the very beginning of the month, Ooh. August 2nd.
Okay.
We have I wanted to tell you about our One City, One Book program. We are hosting a book club for one of our One City, One Books book. Our library, along with many other libraries across the country, hosts a One City, One Book book club. Ours has been going on for 20 years, and so we're celebrating the 20th anniversary.
Now, I saw that you guys had a bookmark that had all of the other books that you guys have done.
It has a sampling, yes.
Okay. So what's the book this year?
This year, the for our book club at Western Edition branch that I have in front of me, the book we'll be discussing, Know My Name, by Chanel Miller.
Okay.
And you go into any library and you'll be able to find that book.
And what's the synopsis of Know My Name?
You're putting me on the spot, and I
sure
have not
am.
Read that book.
That's okay.
I do not have it in front of me.
Okay, that's all right. That's all right.
And I will say it's an adult book, so I have to be honest. I haven't read an adult book in a while. I primarily read youth books.
Well, I like the youth books. I mean,
yes.
There's one award that whenever I see it, I go, oh, I want to read that book. Is it the Booker Award? I forget.
I think it's the Booker Award. There's a lot of good crossover young adult books nowadays, too, mm-hmm. that are really, yeah, and I always like to say you're never too old for a picture book.
But. Now, how, like, since you read a lot of kids' books, like, how do you weed out the, because there's so many books that get published.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure most of them are terrible. So how do you find those gems?
That is a really good question, particularly for the branches that are so small and we have such limited shelf space for
mm-hmm.
all of the many books that are, as you say, are published.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we go through the award-winning lists and get those, read those books. I often take the lead from the kids, too,
mm-hmm.
Of course. And so in addition to looking at the award lists, I'll ask patrons, what are your favorite books? And I always tell them, the books are written for you, not for me, the adult.
Mm-hmm.
You're the best critic of these books.
Mm-hmm.
And I love getting those recommendations from kids to be able to tell other kids. For example, I know a second grader. This is their favorite book. But I think that certainly if you're on social media, I know TikTok has Book Talk and things like that. Those are great resources to find your next favorite book.
Now, how do the kids find their favorite book through TikTok? Like, how are they finding the books seeing?
I love when someone walks up to my desk and asks me to help them find a book that they like. I do that mini interview, and I do often start with, what is one of your favorite books? Do you
mm-hmm.
have a favorite book?
Mm-hmm.
And then I jump on the computer with them and help them pull a good book out of the stacks. I like
okay.
to recommend about three books for them to choose from.
Sure.
But that's kind of the way, that's my personal way to do it. I think it's somewhat common with librarians to do it that way. If you
mm-hmm.
were to walk into the library to,
mm-hmm.
to find your next favorite book.
Okay, okay, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got the One City, One Book, and
mm-hmm.
and people can start reading it anytime, and how do they get involved themselves in the One City, One Book?
Yeah, so you would go on our website to check out the book, pick it up at your local branch. We have a great pony system. You can pick up any book at your closest branch, no matter what library it's at, and then come to the library for that book club. And
do people ever do One City, One Book and then just try and fake it?
Oh yeah it's the real world. It's unfortunately we do not serve wine as many. It is not a wine book club. I know people
okay.
love book clubs for that reason.
Okay.
Adult
okay.
book clubs. But yes, of course. I mean, I would say, like, come, if you haven't read the book, you're, of course, still welcome to come to the book club, find out what the next book is going to be.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. So continue. You,
okay.
Okay. What else is happening in the month of August?
We are the closest. We have, Western Edition Branch has the biggest Japanese book collection in the city because we honor the community we have being the closest branch to the Japantown.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, we have twice a month in August, we have a playtime for families that in Japanese. So we have books and things that are Japanese language materials for them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a really cool program that is actually done by our branch manager. It is story time for grown-ups. She reads aloud short stories for grown-ups here at the library every third Saturday of the month. And I think she told me last month she got about 14 people.
Ooh.
She got a really good turnout.
Uh-huh.
And I just, you know, as you now know, I'm a youth services librarian, do a lot of story times, and it just personally warms my heart that I don't work on that day and I don't get to witness it, but imagining grown-ups sitting around for a story time,
mm-hmm.
sitting in chairs, not on the floor. but, yeah, that's August 16th. which is a Saturday from 4 to 5.
Okay.
And then,
I saw this thing that said that when kids are really into the stories that are being read to them, that mm-hmm. they kind of, they're really like physically more restless, like they're like they wiggle their bodies more because they are, I guess, sort of maneuvering themselves into the story. Like it might, it might seem like they're not paying attention, but that movement is indicative of being
that's
really
incredible.
Into it. So.
Yeah, that's incredible. I've never heard that. That's beautiful.
Yeah, because they were saying that, you know, don't admonish the kids for being squirrely. They're into it, you know. So
well, I have a lot of kids. I have a regular Monday story time for mm-hmm. families, which just means all ages. It's at 10:15 on Mondays, every Monday. My coworker has a baby story time on Tuesdays at 11:45 and mm-hmm. a toddler story time on Tuesdays at 11. But I always tell parents that I notice are uncomfortable when their child or children move around a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And at that age, maybe they're a first time parent. I assure them that's to be expected.
Yeah.
We would be surprised if every kid that young sat there for the whole story.
Yeah.
Because that's just not developmentally appropriate. Like
right.
we want your kids to be up and around and moving.
Yeah, so. they give you the attention that they can, and their bodies wriggle around when they're into it. So
yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to derail you. So we have like a couple.
The last two programs I can tell you about. August 17th, we have Self Defense for the People, and I'll just tell you a little bit about it. It's a unique program for everyone who wants to learn street smart self-defense to protect themselves, their loved one, and their peers. That program requires reservations.
Okay.
So you would want to call our library to make to get a spot to attend the Self-Defense for the People, August 17th.
Okay.
It's a Sunday.
All right.
From 2 to 3.
Okay. And then the last one?
Finally, we have August 20th. We have Bad Art Night.
Ooh, continue.
My coworker is very creative, one of our adult services librarian. This says, gather with fellow art enthusiasts for those who just enjoy a good laugh and wrestle with provided art supplies to create masterpieces of questionable quality.
Oh, I love it.
Right? Relax and revel in the sheer joy of creating something wonderfully, spectacularly bad.
Wow.
Isn't that fun? That's Wednesday, August 20th from 6 to 7.
I love it. Many years ago, decades ago, I went to a bad poetry event and I wrote two really bad poems. I still have them. So I love stuff like that. So
yes. Maybe we'll see you here.
I'll
get to meet you face to face.
So when and what time?
Okay, so that is Wednesday. Mark your calendars. Wednesday, August 20th,
uh-huh.
6 to 7 p.m. at the Western Addition branch. Our address is 1550 Scott Street, and our cross street is Geary. Bad Art Night.
Darn it. I can't come because I have a prior commitment, but I beg you, please.
Spread the
please,
word.
Please, not only spread it, but please record it. And please, please make it, put it on the website so that we can see all of the art. That would just make me so happy. Well, Emma, it's been a slice. I have loved everything you've told me today. Emma Moore, I want to thank you so much for not just being a librarian, but for making it so that children want to read. It's just, we need readers. We need people who can put themselves in other situations and see the world from a different perspective. So I appreciate the work that you do.
Thank you.
All right.
Very much.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity. It's the library. The library is amazing. There's a thing I saw a long time ago, and it still holds true. The internet will give you a million answers, but the librarian will give you the one you need. So go check out the library. It's time for me to turn the mic over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. So I'm going to leave you with Don Morrow. This is Like Rumpelstiltskin. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta. And tiddly-doo.